You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello once again, and again, it's a joy for us to have you with us at ICS Church. Today, we're going to go straight into the Word. The title of the message today is Fruitful Living, Fruitful Living. You know, it's very popular these days to be plant owners, right? Here in the Philippines, they have a term for it, plantitas and plantitos, literally plant uncles and plant aunties. You know, if that's one of you guys today, would you post in the comment, hey, that's me, hashtag, I'm a plantita, I'm a plantito. If you've been taking care of plants the past couple of months under quarantine, how well have you done? How well have you done? For me, my dad gave me a plant just a couple of weeks ago. One of them really didn't survive. So the other, I gave it to Jeff, who's with us here at ICS Church, and asked him to take care of it. Hopefully, it's grown better than what I've done with it. I don't have a green thumb, but for those who do have green thumbs, you know, you do well with taking care of plants, and I congratulate you for that. I'd love to see some of the plants that you have been growing. Shout out to Plantita Rhea and Plantita Elsie, who are our green thumbers here at ICS Church. But, you know, in many ways, when it comes to fruitfulness, this is what God desires for us as well. In fact, Jesus talks a little bit about this. You know, he desires for us to be fruitful. In the book of Genesis, God says about everything that he created at the start, be fruitful and multiply. You know, he talked about this whenever he created something. So fruitfulness is actually something that God desires. It's something that Jesus desires as well for those who would want to follow him. But when it comes to fruitfulness, you know, a lot of times that usually we look at something like a thriving plant, a fruitful plant, and we say, wow, that's a really nice, beautiful plant. Or we look at somebody's life and we look at how amazingly prosperous they are and we say, wow, that's an amazing life. I wish I was that. And we usually admire the result, right? Of what they have right now, the result, but we don't a lot of times ask about the process. And in many ways, there is a process involved for a plant to become fruitful, for a life to become fruitful. And I believe that in this season, despite of the challenges that we are facing, God still wants us to experience fruitfulness, not just in our spiritual life, but in all of life. So we want to talk a little bit about that today. How do we go about it? A couple of truths we want to know. First of all, fruitfulness requires time and process. We talked about that. The results usually is what we stand in awe of, what we applaud, what we take a photo of and post it on our social media. But nobody posts the process, right? Nobody posts those images where it's hard, it's difficult. No, it's usually the results that we see on our socials. But there is a process involved. And the big idea for today is to be fruitful, we must be planted right, nurtured, and grown. There is a process. There is a process. So we're going to look at a teaching of Jesus that he gave. It's one of his sermons, and it's recorded by John, who was one of his disciples, a close disciple, also called the Beloved. That was his other name. And here in John 15, he records Jesus' teaching. It says in verse 1, as Jesus was preaching, Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Again, a predominantly Middle Eastern, Mediterranean agricultural setting. And so when he gave this illustration, people quickly understood what he was talking about because there were vineyards all around, especially in the countryside, in this area. So it's very clear. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. The very first thing we need to know is that we need to be planted right. We need to be planted right. Here, Jesus makes a very bold claim. He says, I am the true vine. Why is he stating that? A lot of times, when we look at the scriptures, when you talk about a vine, When Bible writers, scriptures illustrate vines, it's usually a negative light, in a negative light. But this is one of the positive illustrations where Jesus actually says, hey, you know what? I am the true grapevine. I am the true vine. So if we're going to have any hopes of seeing any plant actually begin, ultimately become fruitful, it starts from the very beginning. It needs to be planted in the right soil. It needs to be planted in a place that, you know, has a lot of nutrients, that has all it needs for it to grow properly. When it comes to our life, we need to be planted in Jesus. That's what Jesus is declaring here. You guys need to be planted in me. In the world that we live today, there are so many things that we can plant our lives in. Some have chosen to plant their lives in wealth and possession. Some have chosen wisdom, right? Academics, knowledge as their source of security. Others have chosen to plant their lives in relationships, right? In their family or in their spouse, in their girlfriend, in their partner, whoever it is, they've chosen to put their security in those things. I mean, you can name it. People have planted or have built their lives, have rooted their lives in things that have become their primary motivation and source of life and reason for being. I want to encourage you today that, you know, to plant yourself in Jesus. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with relationships. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But if we will build our life around those things will come and they will also go. These things will not last forever. But if we choose to plant our lives in something that will outlast even those things, then we have something that is dependable, something that we could rely on. So as we begin to live our life, we will see it come out consistently. You see, in times when you have a lot of wealth or you have money, it seems that life is good, right? You gotta feel that. It seems that, hey man, there's a lot of fruitfulness coming out. But what happens when that wealth suddenly or slowly disappears? Does life also begin to take a different turn? Is the joy taken out of us? That's the problem with putting our trust in those things or building our lives or putting roots into those things. When it's good, then our life is good. When it's bad, then it's the same thing. The beauty about putting our roots in Jesus, put our faith in Him, is that He is consistent. The psalmist says that God does not change like shifting shadows. He is somebody that we can depend on at all times, regardless of the season, right? He will always be with us, and it's not dependent on whether we have or we have not. So be planted in the right things. Be planted right. And when it comes to our life, I suggest, I advise, I would say, planted in Jesus. Planted in Jesus. Secondly, we need to be nurtured right. We need to be nurtured right. Jesus says, you know, I am the true grapevine. So if you want to choose to plant yourselves in other false vines, that's still up to you. But I want to encourage you to plant in me. And as you plant in me, I've got good news for you. Guess what? I know a gardener, and is a really good gardener. It is my Father. It is God the Father. Now, gardeners, they exist to help plants grow, thrive, and be fruitful. Gardeners are not there to destroy the plants. The good thing about this, he's saying here that, you know, the one who's going to nurture you is my Heavenly Father. And He's somebody that we can trust, which brings us to our next point. We need to trust and submit to the gardener's will and process. Now, if you're a plant, you don't really have a choice, right? If you're a plant, a gardener comes, he does what he does, and you don't have a say in that. But obviously, we're not plants, and we do have a choice. The beauty about this is that the gardener that we have that is tending to our lives is somebody who loves us and desires only the best for us. And we need to trust in His purpose. We need to trust in His process. Again, we said earlier that, you know, to thrive in life, to have a fruitful life, it takes time. And there is a process that is involved. And a lot of times, this is where the struggle comes in. Because putting faith in Jesus, you know, when he offers eternal life, salvation, that's great news. And we say amen to that. And I choose to follow you. And we do it. But then when the process unfolds, sometimes this is when it gets a bit difficult for some people who have chosen to follow Jesus. And Jesus here begins to illustrate what it's like for a plant. In verse 2, he says, you know, as the gardener, my heavenly Father, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Now, that's painful. Just seeing the word cut off, man, that is painful. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit. Why? Because it's useless, right? If there is a branch that is not producing fruit, then what is it there for? So the gardener comes and just snips it off. Now, there are other commentators who say that the original translation for cut off, you could actually use it in another meaning, which means to lift up. Now, that's interesting for me as well. Because again, this is a grapevine. And you know, when those grapevine grows, it grows horizontally. And sometimes the vine, instead of growing up, it grows down and it hits the ground. Now, when it gets pretty low and it doesn't even have sunlight, then it will not be fruitful. It could actually die. So what gardeners and vineyard farmers do is they walk through the vineyards and sometimes they would lift up those little branches that have fallen to the ground and, you know, they would lift it up back on the trellis so that it could receive enough sunlight and water as well. That's interesting. But here, it does make sense that if you're not being fruitful, that you would be cut off, right? You would be removed. And man, that is painful. That is painful. And that is something that only God can do. It's between, you know, the one, whether you're continuing to remain in Jesus or you have chosen to willfully walk away from him, that could possibly happen. And Jesus said, you know, the one who's going to do that is not you, it's not me, it's my Heavenly Father, because he is the gardener. What else that he does? What else does the Father do in the process to help us to be fruitful? He prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Wow. So the fruitless branches he cuts off. The fruitful branches, it says here, he prunes so that they will produce even more. Now, the pruning process here, again, experts tell us it's about cleansing the plant, purifying the plant. So they would do things to the vine to remove any impurities. So sometimes, you know, in the pruning process, there would be leaves on the branches that are starting to wilt and to die, and this can potentially infect and affect other parts of the plant. So the gardener comes with his snipping scissors or his knife and cuts it off. Now, pruning, definitely, when it comes to life, we'd probably say that's not an easy thing to do. Right? Cleansing is what happens here. In the original, it's all about cleansing. The pruning process is the cleansing process so that ultimately what's going to happen? There would be more fruit to come. Jesus continues on. He says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So this is what the Word of God does to us. The words that Jesus has spoken, the words that we read in scriptures, this is what purifies us. It is Jesus and his words that enable us to be set right in our walk with God, to be fruitful. I mean, many of us would probably realize this in our everyday life. You know, if you don't spend time in God's word, listening to Jesus' instructions and what he has already advised and taught his people to do, you would not know how to live life, right? So you would not know how to steer away from sin, how to overcome temptations. We would not know how to do that. But when we read and when we listen to the teachings of Jesus, it is there that we discover, wow, there is actually a way to overcome sin and not to succumb to temptation. There's actually instructions on how I'm supposed to conduct my everyday life, the principles of living the life that Jesus has called me to live. So as long as we look into the word and we apply it into our lives, we actually experience that. You know, the purifying word of God, the word that Jesus has spoken, reminds us that we can be cleansed. We can continue to walk righteously in the right way. And as a result, continue to live a fruitful life. But the moment we step away from that, or sometimes even ignore it, right? And we go back to our favorite sin. We go back to the sin that we already know that's wrong. And we go back to it again. It is there that we begin to experience life slowly being removed from us. The joy of life disappearing from us. And sometimes it could be as simple as just neglecting time with Jesus and His Word. You know, I've experienced this. You know, there are times when sometimes you'd be so busy with work and you justify yourself to yourself, you know, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll just spend time in prayer or in God's Word tomorrow because there's a lot for me to do today. And that one day becomes 2 days, especially, you know, when the schedules get piled up. And I notice I start to lose joy. Even though, you know, I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but because I haven't spent time in God's presence, reading Jesus' words, talking to God Himself in prayer, then there hasn't been time to experience His life and mine. And it's all about my striving, you know, it's about my ability instead of God working through me and His life flowing through me. That's what the Word of God does to us. We need to trust and submit to God's will and process. It is by spending time in His Word that He identifies, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, shines a light in our own souls to expose parts of our life that need to be surrendered to God or that need to be set right. These could be attitudes, habits, and yes, even sin that we have allowed to fester over time that if we do not address can actually destroy our life and remove the joy that God has placed in our life. You know, the pruning process is not always easy, right? Nobody wants their sin to be exposed. Nobody wants a light to shine in their wrongdoings. But when we come to the Lord with a sincere, contrite, and humble heart, it is that heart that He hears. When we come to Him with repentance, He forgives us. And really, that's the purpose of the Word, to instruct us, to direct us in the way to go. And as we yield ourselves to the conviction of the Spirit, then we're enabled to be fruitful in our walk with Jesus Christ. Jesus continues on. He says, you know, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. There's a process. But here's what I need you to do. Verse 4, He says, I need you to remain in Me, and then I will remain in you. Now this remaining, yes, we have a part in it, but actually it's God as well. It's Jesus. He is the one that is allowing us, causing us to continue to be grafted in Him. It is His ability. It's God's power and might that enables us to be grafted in Him. It is God's grace and power that enables us to continue to remain in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from Me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in Me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. It will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are My true disciples. This brings great glory to My Father. Now there's a lot there. Let's unpack it. It says, remaining in Jesus gives life and fruitfulness. Now again, we choose to remain in Him, but He is the one that actually sustains us to stay grafted in Him. It is by grace, Paul says, that you have been saved, not by your own works, but it's through your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so that no one can boast or say, hey, I did it. No, It is God's grace. It's what he gives us that we don't deserve. It's his grace that enables us to be grafted into Jesus Christ. But we need to respond to that gift of grace, of love, of forgiveness, of salvation by trusting in him. And that's called faith. Verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that my Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." Again, Jesus reiterating what he had already said earlier. It's about you remaining in me and true evidence that you are my followers, you're my disciples. As one, there will be fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in character, that you're going to be more like Christ, that you and I will be more like Jesus when it comes to character. And at the same time, it will be evidenced by what we do in everyday life through the relationships around us. Love relationships will be produced in our life. Now, all of this takes time. And you say, okay, I'm convinced, you know, Pastor Shad, I want to remain in Jesus. But how do we go about doing that? If that is the result of fruitfulness, for me to have a fruitful life, like Jesus says, to remain in him, how do I do that? Here are a couple of things. Take notes down or take a screenshot after you see this, right? We remain in Jesus through God's power. We said that earlier. It's by grace through faith. Now, the next is also important. It is our faith in God. God draws us to him. God saves us through Jesus. And we respond in faith in God and in Jesus Christ by believing that what he said was sufficient, what he did was enough, and that he said what he said he is going to do. This is all about the life of salvation. God has done it. And we're responding now by believing and trusting in him. And then as we proceed from that life, right, like a little seed, we begin to grow. And as we grow, what do we need to do? We need to allow God to nurture us as the gardener through his word, through prayer, and finally, we grow through obedience. God's word, prayer, which are direct access to him, and through the application of the things that he is teaching us. These things we see in a plant, although they don't willfully do this, right? Because the plant, if it has the right environment, the right soil, the right water, sunlight, nutrients, and you get all your stuff to put in there to keep the pests away. I really believe that's what the Word of God does for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He convicts us and reveals to us sin and temptation when it comes near us. We're able to steer away from it, to overcome it. Yeah? We apply God's word. We spend time in his presence in prayer, communing with him without ceasing, and we apply it. We live it out. It is there that we experience the fruitful life that Jesus gives us. To live a fruitful life, we must be planted in Jesus, nurtured by God, and grow in obedience to what he has already revealed to us. You know, there is so much that God is wanting to do in our life, even in this season that is very challenging for many of us. But as his sons and his daughters, God desires for us to be fruitful, not just in our spiritual life, but in everything all around us. Here Jesus says, you know, when we are grafted into him, when we remain in Jesus, when we get to know the will of the Father, you know what happens when we do that? We become more like Jesus. The character of Jesus that Paul writes about in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness, all of this begins to come out as a fruit of our life. But at the same time, the results, not just of the character, but of the behavior of Jesus begins to be produced. In the same passage in John 15, Jesus said, you know what? Because I'm grafted in God, in love, his love is what sustains me. My love is what will sustain you. And if you remain in me, that love will be produced in you as well. It will manifest in your relationships. That will become the fruit of all these things. And when we come to Jesus, when we come to our Heavenly Father, when we ask for whatever our desire is, He says it will be given to us. But what do you mean, Pastor Jad? Is that like kind of like a genie effect? No. Because when we are grafted in the vine, whatever flows in the vine will be produced as a fruit in the branch. Right? So the more we get to know our Heavenly Father, the more we get to know Jesus through His Word, through prayer, by obeying, then it follows that the will of the Father, right? Our will becomes more aligned with His will, with the will of Jesus, with the purposes of God in our everyday life. So that when we actually pray, we're praying for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our desires begin to be conformed to His desires for us, our dreams, our visions, for our relationships, for our family, for our church, for our work, for our school, right? The more we get to know, the more we allow the Spirit, God, Jesus, to flow through us, we come into an alignment with His purposes and His presence to us. And because of this, fruitfulness results in our life. Fruitfulness is just a result of the process that takes place in our everyday life. And you say, you know, some of these things I already know, and some of it is just, you know, it's so mundane, it's so boring, right? Watering your plant, putting it under the sunlight, every day, you've got to do that without fail, right? There are certain days, times during the day when it's best to do that, but it's something that you strive to do every day to get a fruitful plant. And it's the same thing in our life. These are the habits that we need to develop every day. And as these habits become second nature to us, the result is fruitfulness in all of life. I pray that in your season right now that you're going through, you will experience the goodness of God in everything that's happening in your life in this season, because that is His desire for you. If you don't know Jesus today, you know what? His purpose for you is so much better than the plans that you have for yourself. And I encourage you, hey, try Him out, man. Go ahead and trust in Him. Go ahead and seek to follow Him today. And I guarantee it, you will experience fruitfulness in your life. If that's your desire right now, would you just follow me in a brief prayer? Prayer is talking to Him. So make this as if it's your own prayer. Only pray it with sincerity right now. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You have a wonderful plan for my life, better than the plans that I have for myself. Lord, today, I want what You said, Lord, to live a fruitful life. And so, Jesus, I come to You and I ask You to forgive me of every sin. I invite You to come and lead me beginning today. Forgive me, Lord, and come and be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. I ask it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us know if you prayed that prayer today and made that commitment to Jesus. Our desire is to help you grow as you follow Jesus in your everyday life. And if you're going through difficulty right now as part of ICS Church family, would you let us know? Send us a message. And we want to continue to pray together with you and at the same time experience the fruitfulness that God has for your life. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, thank You so much for this spiritual family that You've brought us into. Father, whatever circumstance, whatever difficulty, every individual, every family, Lord, is facing right now, right there in their living room, in the room that they're listening into right now. Jesus, let Your tangible presence be felt. And I pray, Father, that You would just allow the uplifting of this burden in Jesus' name. Let healing come. Let peace come. Lord, let Your presence rest in every household. And let, Lord God, Your purposes be fulfilled today as we submit to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.